This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Laremy Tunsil traded to the Washington Commanders. If you're just waking up, just getting into your car, we'll be talking about this. I'd imagine this will be the big topic all day here on the station, because a lot of it is, hey, what's next? You know, the Texan fans that voted in the poll that I put up on this widely approve of this trade. 88% say thumbs up on this deal. I think 100% of the hosts on this show are thumbs up on this deal.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that the nerds seem to say that the compensation was right. And I would just say there's a good chance the Texans have been open to a trade for Tunsil for a while. But maybe the compensation wasn't right beforehand. Mm-hmm. And now this is compensation that makes sense. And then especially after a season in which you watched the offense regress in a lot of ways, but in terms of actual physical toughness or looking anything like how D'Amico Ryans wants his football team to look, the offense is light years behind where the defense is. And Laremy Tunsil is very good at a finesse style of football. He's an exceptional pass protector, a middling run blocker at best, but with zero appetite for violence. And I don't care whether his teammates liked him or thought he was a swell fella. Those guys on offense, they played like a soft offense. Their opinion means nothing to me. That you've got to have guys on that offensive line that are more hard-edged and tough and hard-nosed and don't play a finesse style of football. And certainly ones that are more committed to practicing and doing, going above and beyond, which is the football nerd side of it. It makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. But there's all this hand-wringing I see from people outside of Houston saying, oh, but he was the one good pass protector on their team and they couldn't pass protect. That's the same argument for why it doesn't matter whether you keep him or lose him. They need more good players and more competent play out of all five guys. And having one star pass protector who can't run block and has very little interest in it, that doesn't fix your offensive line either. No. So they've got to have follow-up moves. They've got to have a better coached offense this year. They've got to get better play from the individual offensive linemen. But I'm not like, oh, is it D'Amico was the second most sacked quarterback in football last year.
CJ, yeah.
CJ, yes. Yeah. CJ was the second most sacked quarterback in football last year. The Laremy Tunsil wasn't solving that issue.
Yeah.
There's multiple issues that they've got to address.
Yeah, you were never going to change the culture of that offensive line room as long as he was in it. I feel strongly about that. You know, like, yeah, it's just that was never, he was going to be not, you know, willfully and in a belligerent way, but he was always going to be an obstacle to changing the ethos of that room. You said it so many times, Seth, the defense looks so different than the offense the last couple of years in terms of the style with which they played. And I don't think The culture of the offensive line room is no longer being held hostage by whatever the culture Laremy Tunsil chose to embrace.
The original sin that this all goes back to was when the Texans could have signed Trent Williams, who was living in Fort Bend County at the time. Yeah. They could have traded for almost nothing for him, like the 49ers would eventually.
A third and a fifth.
And remains in San Francisco. Trent Williams is the exact opposite of Laremy Tunsil in a lot of ways. I mean, Trent Williams in his prime is a much better football player than Laremy Tunsil, but he's also a badass. He's also a guy that plays the way that D'Amico Ryans would like to play football, and you didn't have to give up two first-rounders for him. So that, by and large, I feel like for Bill O'Brien, all his talk about tough, smart, and dependable, Laremy Tunsil is not dependable when it comes to actually playing good, unselfish football. The false starts, I don't care how many people want to try to justify his false starts. At the end of the day, it's about selfishness. Yeah. It's because he cared more about not letting up sacks and how good that looks, and you can get talked about as having the highest PFF score. It's selfish. It's selfish when you false start that much. That's a bad example to set on the in the position group that demands the most selflessness out of its players. And then there's just zero appetite for violence or the physical part of the game. He's a finesse football player. He's very good at pass protection. He plays like he despises run blocking, and he does not savor it at all. He does not finish plays. He does not drive people. So, no, none of that looks like what you want out of your best player on a D'Amico Ryans offense.
Yeah. Question on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Are the Redskins paying Tunsil's whole salary too? Yes. Here are the terms of the trade, and then we'll get into what I think are important questions that we haven't even posed on the show yet this morning. The Texans send Tunsil and a fourth-round pick this year to the Commanders for a third-round pick and a seventh-round pick this year and a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick in 2026. To me, that second round pick next year is the sweet nectar in this deal. They also save nearly $14 million against the cap. So that's almost like a coupon to go get another good player. You know, that's about the price range that maybe a high level guard would be in, like Will Fries, somebody like that.
Yeah.
So you almost get a coupon to go get a guy under the salary cap. And then obviously the biggest effect are all the things that Seth and I are talking about here, where this is really an opportunity to reimagine what that offensive line room looks like here over the next couple of days and probably going into the draft. And we'll certainly talk about that plenty when we get to the mock draft injection at 7:45 today. So the questions that I was jotting down yesterday, Seth, that we don't have answers to yet, and these are in no particular order. What do you think CJ Stroud thinks of this deal? And before we get to that, here was CJ talking on one of the podcasts.
Pivot Podcast.
It's the Pivot Podcast? Okay.
Yep.
Talking about his impressions of Laremy Tunsil after CJ's first year here in Houston.
You know, like, the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like, he a vet. Like, yeah. He not doing nothing extra at practice. Like, you know, like.
Yeah. That's
pretty chilling 7 seconds worth of audio right there in retrospect.
Now, he was saying that as he would tell a story about Laremy Tunsil being excited on one of their drives that they had at the end of 2023. But, yeah, that's CJ's impression of what a vet is. Guy that doesn't have to do anything extra. You know, you guys can tell me about, the guys in the locker room thought he was a great leader. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem when you've got an underperforming offense that plays soft. Your impression of a vet is a guy that doesn't have to do anything extra. That's right. Bad, man.
That's bad.
That's bad. It's bad.
So,
it's really, really bad.
So
yeah.
What,
so I don't, honestly, I get disgusted at people acting like being well-liked in the locker room on a soft offense is somehow evidence that, like, nah, everything was cool. He was a great culture fit. It's not a great culture on the offensive side of the ball. It's a bad culture. They were soft. And having the vet, your young quarterback's impression of a vet is the guy that doesn't have to do any, doesn't do anything extra. No, man, that's awful.
Yeah,
it's awful.
That's bad. That said, what do you think CJ thinks of this deal? He just got his
He hates it. Yeah. I hope he learns a lesson.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, CJ's got to grow up, too. Like, CJ's got to grow up. There's an element where, and he learned, he grew up a lot in his second year, but he's still young. It's 100% cool for men to cry. It's 100% cool in situations. When you're in a leadership position, when you're a man or a woman, and people are looking to you, there's a level of stoicism you need to have. And I'll say, like, I don't care whether people think this is insensitive or anything else. You can't be bawling on the sideline because one of your friends got hurt in the middle of a game when you're in a leadership position. I'll take that to any aspect of life, male, female, it doesn't matter. That's not, there's a level of toughness that offense needs to ascend to, and they're not there. So, yeah, it's not just getting rid of Laremy Tunsil and all of a sudden you got a bunch of tough guys on the team. There needs to be a more hard-edged feel and tone to that offense if they want to play in the style of D'Amico Ryans.
So where do you think they go with the O-line from here? Like, if there's obviously still moves to be made. They cut Shaq Mason. They trade Laremy Tunsil. So two-fifths of what's been your starting offensive line the last 2 years are gone, and they've not made a bunch of signings yesterday. None of them were on the offensive line, and I'm kind of thankful for that because most of the signings were lower level $2 to $5 million signings. I think they need probably price tag wise more of an impact guy at either of those positions. My first thought, Seth, yesterday went to, okay, is this Blake Fisher? It's your turn at left tackle, and Titus goes back out to right tackle. Does Titus stay at guard and they go find a tackle? Like, if you had to make an educated guess here, if you were Cole Popovich right now and you were looking at this thing, what would you be thinking about the pieces?
Well, the offensive tackles, like, you know, it's hard to find offensive tackles, and most of the good ones are gone in free agency. I think at this point it's about interior offensive line, and then I think a lot of the mock drafts that come up now are going to start sending a lot of offensive tackles to the Texans.
Are the Texans starting tackles in week one on this roster right now? Is it Blake? Could it be?
I think at least one of them is, and it might be. It could be. They might want to try Blake Fisher at left tackle, and with Laremy Tunsil at right tackle.
Titus Howard.
Not Tunsil. They're not going to trade back for him. And then after that, though, maybe they draft Josh Simmons in the draft, or Kelvin Banks, or somebody it could be any number of things, and it really depends on what they're going to do with Titus Howard, whether they want to move him to guard or whether they want to keep him at tackle.
Yeah, yep. Is this a vote of confidence in a way for Nick Caley and Cole Popovich? That's a big deal to trade. I know that the line has not been great.
Yeah.
You know, you're trading your starting left tackle, and the solutions are not in place yet or anything.
It does make me wonder what Cole Popovich's opinion of Laremy Tunsil was.
Yes.
And exactly, you know, whether he felt like, oh gosh, we can't lose him, or we needed to be a different style of football team.
Yeah.
And we need more help across the board. That we'll never know that. I mean, that's never gonna leak out, from this organization. So I guess it's a vote of confidence in Nick Caley and Cole Popovich that if they can just get, one, rid of a lot of the mental errors and confusion that you saw on the offensive line, and two, if they can get more fundamentally sound play out of those guys, because there were things they were doing last year that were just high school level, and they're not good high schools. I feel like a lot of the good high schools in Houston did things more fundamentally sound with their offensive line last year. If you can just get good fundamentally sound play from solid football players, that the sum total of it all will be, they'll be a better pass protecting football team and a better run blocking football team.
Yeah. We've had a few people point this out this morning. I saw people point it out yesterday. Was the last straw for Laremy Tunsil here posting his autographed cleats on Instagram following a 31-2 loss on Christmas Day to the Ravens. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember his little Instagram post went right up during all the post game stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
that was pretty sweet.
That's caring about the stuff that matters.
Yeah, man. Yeah, sounds like a yes.
I mean, it's not like it was shocking to anybody or anything. And I don't even like that's a side of it where when you start talking about, okay, what kind of a presence was he in the locker room, or was he on Instagram too much or whatever? That's all very, very subjective. Yeah. I think as far as just the actual product on the field, the way Laremy Tunsil plays, the good, which is he's an exceptional pass protector, it just does not outweigh the fact that are the things that are so lacking in terms of the type of football player that D'Amico Ryans wants.
Yeah.
He wants, especially on the offensive line, selfless players. Well, listen, the false starts, they're selfish. There's no other way to cut it. It's not like he's not athletic or lacks the timing or something. I don't know. Maybe he's got some kind of arrhythmia disorder or something where he can't figure out the rhythm of the snap count. But other than that, it's him just trying to get a jump to be a better pass protector at the expense of the team, oftentimes in crucial situations.
Yeah.
He cares more about not getting beat as a pass protector because that's what gets you paid. That's just selfish. So you can't have that. As a player, he just had very, very little appetite for run blocking. And when he did even run block effectively, there was zero physicality to it. And that's not what D'Amico Ryans wants on his football team. So, I don't have to talk about culture or locker room presence or anything like that to tell you that is not a D'Amico Ryans type of guy at all. Like, not one tiny little bit. And D'Amico inherited him.
Is he a Dan Quinn type of guy? That'll be the question.
No, what's amazing to me is that there's been a lot written about how great Dan Quinn was at developing a culture there and all these things that they did where in their OTAs they would spend a lot of time doing team building activity and stuff. Again, just go by virtue of Laremy Tunsil's style of play. He does not seem to be very much all about the team.
Yeah.
He seems to be all about what gets him paid.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Maybe Dan Quinn can be, the guy that gets the best out of him.
Yeah, and I have no idea if, I think he'll, if it's the same Cliff Kingsbury that they had in Arizona, I think that'll be Laramie's pace. I think he'll like that. I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
I feel like a big weight has been lifted off of my shoulders because I aggravated my hernia trying to lift up my thoughts and expectations of what Laremy could be. Because there was a time in the middle of last season.
You put him in the circle of swarm 1 week.
I did. It was after, was it after the Jaguars game? I think I can't remember when it was. There was a stretch there where it looked like he was really committed to run blocking. He had cleaned up his false starts.
Yeah.
And that was cool. So I saw progress there. Maybe this year coming into it, he'll be more of a complete football player.
Yeah.
You know, I've always felt about Laremy Tunsil. I feel like he's capable of being all pro. I feel like he's got the physical ability and potential to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's long past that point. He won't be a Hall of Famer at this point, but I've always felt there was untapped potential there.
Yeah.
And what he needed was to really embrace being a complete offensive tackle. And he's just never done that for an entire season.
Yeah.
So I was trying to talk myself into him because I just felt like, all right, well, I guess they're married to the contract and they don't feel like they can trade him for what's worth. So I guess that's what we're going to go with. And it was hard, man. It was hard. And now I've got to have hernia surgery. That's really
the
most damaging legacy of this will be my hernia surgery.
Your hernia is going to be the worst part of the whole thing. It is wild when you think about it. I'm with you. Like, yeah, Hall of Fame is come and gone. He's made the Pro Bowl. He made the Pro Bowl every year he was a Houston Texan, except the David Culley season when he had that mysterious wrist injury that just kept keeping him out and keeping him out and keeping him out for the rest of that season. It was uncanny how that wrist injury that had like a 6 to 8 week time frame for healing just never really healed. Till the off season. It's just it's unbelievable. That was the only year he didn't make the Pro Bowl. That's what makes this trade bizarre in a way to me. And not so much, I mean, we've been in it every day, so it doesn't feel totally bizarre that he's gone. But just on paper to look at it, that 88% of the people that we polled on this thing were happy that this guy got traded. He's been a Pro Bowler every year but one. He's been here 6 seasons. That's what's crazy, is 6 seasons. And 5 of them, he was a Pro Bowler, and there were millions of Texans that would have driven him to the airport yesterday to send him up to Washington. That's what's wild. Like,
well, part of it, and we've talked about this before, is the emotional impact it has when Laremy Tunsil doesn't just have a bunch of false starts. He's got a bunch of false starts that have killed drives.
Yeah.
Oft times in critical situations. So when Tank Dell has a beautiful catch in the Minnesota game, and you see a flag on the field, and like, oh, Ah, crap. Yep, there you go.
Number 78. Let's go.
Remember the Cowboys game a few years ago where he had two false starts on one of the critical drives in the fourth quarter? Like, it's moments like that where it gets emblazoned on your soul that, man, you did it to me again. Oh, was it a one-time bad? Nope, he's a league leader. He's one of the league leaders in false starts every single year.
Yeah.
This is just how he operates.
It's funny. I was joking about this. You know I asked earlier, was the last straw when he posted his autograph cleats? I was kind of jokingly in my mind going, I wonder if the last straw was when Bill O'Brien got on that podcast and talked about how Laramie is one of the greatest tackles to ever play. Almost quasi bragging about the trade. The last straw, the sign that he was on his way out, might have been after they won the AFC South. And this graphic was up in our lobby forever on the big screen TV out there.
Yeah.
There was a congratulatory graphic the Texans put out on their social media that said back-to-back AFC South champs. And, you know, as you would expect, CJ and D'Amico are front and center in this thing. There's a huge D'Amico, smiling D'Amico in the middle of about a collage of about 12 players. None of them are Laramie Tunsil. It's CJ Stroud, it's Stingley, it's Tank, it's Danielle Hunter, it's Kamari Lassiter, it's Kalen Bullock, it's Jimmy Ward, Joe Mixon, Kaimi Fairbairn, John Weeks, Laramie Tunsil, and Nico Collins. There are 13 players on this graphic. None of them are the highest paid guy on the team who's made the Pro Bowl five times. Didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think trading Tunsil has been a possibility for a while in the organization.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, but I think it's been, you know, when D'Amico came in and had a year to kind of look at things and assess and figure out what types of guys he wants, go back to the defense, look at the defensive side of the ball. And you almost get a hernia trying to carry the satchel full of players who are swarm.
Yeah.
Where on offense, it's few and far between. And I think Joe Mixon is one of those guys who plays the way D'Amico Ryans wants guys to play. Nico Collins plays the way D'Amico Ryans wants his players to play. Who else on offense am I missing? I mean, amongst the good football players, I think there's guys that have potential for it, but they don't play.
I mean,
they're not playing well enough to be genuinely considered swarm.
I
know, like, the amount of violence I've seen from the offensive side of the ball is almost zilch.
When he was healthy, I would have said Tank Dell.
Yeah. Good call. Tank Dell, 100%. Tank Dell broke his leg because he was so swarm.
Right.
He's going in, like, looking for extra business on a goal line play.
He wanted all the smoke, man, and it resulted in a broken leg. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll circle back to Tunsil during the show here for sure, but this is huge. And as somebody points out on the text page, so what you're telling me is Laramie Tunsil has been part of the two of the biggest trades in the history of the franchise, 100%. The trade to bring him here was one of the biggest in the history of the franchise, maybe the biggest. And the Texans were not super active trade participants for many, many years. And then Bill O'Brien kind of broke the seal on that. This one, to me, the one sending him out yesterday is more significant than the one that brought him in. He was brought in because they had a triage situation on the O-line. They needed to protect Deshaun Watson. Laramie Tunsil getting sent out is for a whole lot more reasons than level of play. In fact, it's, to me, the higher reasons on this board are more, you know, culture and leadership sort of intangible reasons than the actual play on the field. You know,
the play on the field is hand in hand. If Laramie was a good guy in the locker room, right, that's great. It's just he's not the kind of football player you want. So the leadership, this is where people are conflating two different things, where you've got some people sticking up for Laramie Tunsil saying, like, no, his teammates liked him. He was never a distraction. Like, no, but by example, you have to lead by example and be the type of player that D'Amico wants. I mean, the defense has taken on the identity of D'Amico Ryans. The offense has the identity of Ferdinand the Bull. It's just, they're nowhere near the style of play that you want. So when your highest paid player and one of your best players on offense, because he was, Laremy Tunsil's one of their best players on offense, but his style of play is nothing like the image of D'Amico Ryans. It's flat out, you just need more guys that play like they do on defense.
Yeah.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The headline here is an obvious one. It's the Tunsil trade. As you can tell, if you've been listening to the show this morning, what's your, if we, you know, we've not touched on anything around the league yet in free agency that happened yesterday, Seth. If there were, independent of the Tunsil trade, just around the league, what was the thing that popped the most with you yesterday in free agency?
The first was, honestly, Eric Murray to the Jaguars, just because they...
Not what I was expecting.
I see a lot of rundowns of Texans free agency, and they're not mentioning Eric Murray.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, somebody in the division paid a boatload of money for Eric Murray. I think that's a win, and I always feel like Eric Murray's gotten a little bit of a tough row to hoe in the minds of the fan base because Bill O'Brien overpaid for him in that year that it would end up just being a morass. As far as things that are related to the Texans, though, also, I was intrigued when there were rumors that the Texans were in on Dre Greenlaw. So Dre Greenlaw going to Denver was notable. That's from a Texans perspective.
Sure.
Justin Simmons to the Jets, I'm fascinated about.
I hadn't seen that one yet. The safety,
not Justin Simmons. Justin Fields.
Justin Fields
to the Jets. Yeah. I'm fascinated by.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he'll be the starter. 2 years, $40 million, $30 million guaranteed.
Sam Darnold, I'm intrigued by to the Seahawks.
That seems to be the headliner around the league,
right?
Yeah,
it just doesn't affect me as much, but I really want to learn the details of what kind of offer was made to Geno Smith. Because that was supposedly they were all in on Geno Smith, but the negotiations broke down. I could see in Seattle thinking, all right, listen, we like Geno Smith, but we don't necessarily think he's the guy we want here for a long time. Can we keep Geno Smith, but also draft a quarterback or sometime in the next couple of years, draft a quarterback and Geno Smith be cool with it? And I don't know if he would have been, you know, kind of Geno Smith's. He got his second life late in his career, and I could see him, you know, not, you know, just gently going off into retirement as a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, man, I waited 10 years for this opportunity, you know.
Yeah, so you go with Sam Darnold, and it just feels eerily similar to when the Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson after having paid for
Matt Flynn, an
NFC North quarterback, and Matt Flynn on a pretty good deal for the time. They might look at Sam Darnold as, you know what, we think we can win games with him, but also hopefully he's not afraid of competition.
He got the identical contract that Baker Mayfield got in Tampa Bay. Baker got a prove it contract and then signed literally a 3-year $100 million contract the next year, and I think that's where the ceiling for Sam Darnold probably is what Baker Mayfield's become in Tampa Bay, I would guess.
The other ones that caught my attention, and this was lightning quick, was Grady Jarrett, the defensive tackle, because he wasn't even a free agent at the beginning of the day.
Got paid, though.
Yeah, he got paid, and I was intrigued by him just because I think, seemed like the kind of guy that, did he get about $10 million a year?
For those who don't know, he got cut by Atlanta in the morning. Yeah. And then he got signed by Chicago by dinner time, 3 years, $43 million.
Yeah. So the other defensive tackles that are still out there, Jonathan Allen, who...
Nope.
That's an interesting...
Got signed this morning.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he signed 3 years, $60 million with Minnesota. That is way too pricey for where the Texans are cap-wise.
Okay, we'll go with the guys that I know definitely got signed or did not get signed. DJ Jones, the defensive tackle, signed with the Broncos. Yeah. I thought he might be a guy that the Texans would be interested in. So some of the defensive tackles who I thought were more affordable, like DJ Jones got 3 years, $39 million. That's right around that $10 million mark, give or so, give or take a little bit. I felt like, all right, bring in a guy who's a bona fide starter. Doesn't have to be all pro or anything, but somebody I feel really good about on the depth chart. A few of those guys went off the board.
The ones that are at the top of the list on one of the on Sharp Football has a list that goes by position and in order of desirability. Jonathan Allen is still on there. That's not been corrected yet. Larry Ogunjobi. This is the one you, I think you were trying to get me to pronounce yesterday, Seth.
Yeah.
Levi Onwuzurike? Levi Onwuzurike. Javon Hargrave, much easier to pronounce. Malik Collins is out there, Seth. We're into reunions these days. Sheldon Rankins came back. Tremont Smith came back.
I think now they rotate their defensive line, so they can mix and match a lot. Malik Collins I could see coming back, but with him, with Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins in at the same time, I don't think you're as stout against the run as D'Amico would like to be. Mm-hmm. Now you can, it's nice to say you can rotate your defensive linemen through, but the tricky part about that is sometimes, you don't want to get stuck with the wrong personnel out there. Or if the offense can kind of dictate which personnel you have on the field by what they line up in, then it gets tough. It gets tough if you don't have the right kind of guys on the team. So I think more of a total run and pass guy is there's still a need for that. Maybe it comes in the draft.
The ones that jumped out at me yesterday early on, I thought it was ironic that Hassan Reddick was the very first player to sign in free agency, given the fact that he had maybe one of the most poorly handled holdouts of all time last year. He was like the last healthy player to actually play a game last year because he held out for so long. He signed with Tampa Bay, 1 year, $14 million. Chris Godwin staying in Tampa Bay for reportedly a total of about $20 million less than was out there for him. Reportedly, there were offers out there for him in the $28 to $30 million a year range. He takes 3 years, $66 million to stay in Tampa Bay, according to Ian Rapoport. He left a lot of money on the table.
Hassan Reddick? Wait, how much did he leave on the table?
Chris Godwin left about $20 million on the table to stay in Tampa Bay, total.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fan-friendly move right there.
Yes.
And people gush about him as in terms of just the leader he is.
He's like a Tampa guy, man.
So, that's a real deal. He's Tampa full life.
Yep.
The Hassan Reddick part, just through his odyssey over the last year, it comes also with the Eagles winning a Super Bowl with a magnificent defensive effort. That's got to sting a little bit, right?
Yeah, they shipped him out of there.
They're like, I'll show you. Yeah. I'll show you. And they went and they were an awesome
defense. They won a Super Bowl. They had salt in the wound, man. Drew Dalman, the center, goes to Chicago. Chicago is on the fast track to rebuilding their offensive line in front of they're going to have a whole new O-line interior with Joe Thuney, Jonah Jackson, and now they signed Dalman to a $14 million a year deal. Chicago's spending a lot of money yesterday.
Chicago's having the offseason with their offensive line that a lot of Texans fans would want.
Yes.
And I get that. I totally understand it. It's hard right now because it's a leap of faith in some regards in saying that, look, we gotta pound the fundamentals. That's one thing that Nick Caley had brought up over and over again that I liked. He talks about fundamentals a lot. Bobby Slowick did not talk about fundamentals in the run game that I can even remember. Mm-hmm. He would say that they were working on the run game or whatever, but I don't know if he knew how to design or engineer a run game or pass protection or anything else like that. The Texans are going to try to do it more by, I think, taking some of the same guys that you had last year and getting the best out of them, and then probably making some not very heralded free agency acquisitions, but then maybe a big first-round pick in the draft. Now, they got extra capital now to move up.
Yeah.
They've got extra draft picks to work with if they want to move up in the first round or move up in the second round.
I've got a proposal in the mock draft injection in the next segment for Nick Caserio. I've got a proposal. The Patriots spent like crazy on defense yesterday. This is Who's their GM? Elliot Wolf? It's Ron Wolf's kid, right? Is the GM there? I'm just picturing Vrabel probably in his mind is going, look, in Tennessee, I got stabbed in the back by the GM. He traded A.J. Brown on the day of the draft, and I had no say in that. Remember Vrabel, how downtrodden he was when he saw that? Now Vrabel's walking up, putting a headlock on Elliot Wolf and saying, you are going to spend, and you're going to spend on defense. You're going to get, like, while holding his head, he's going, you're going to get me Carlton Davis for $20 million a year. You're going to get me Robert Spillane for $12 million a year. I want Milton Williams. But, Mike, he's the most expensive guy on the market. I don't care. $26 million a year for Milton Williams now. And we already got Harold Landry for $14 million a year.
The Milton Williams, we've talked about him. And my stance on Milton Williams is, man, I like the way he plays. He played 25 to 30 snaps per year last
with
year.
With a ton of talent around him
around
on that line.
Yeah.
This feels like a bust.
Making $25 million a year when you haven't necessarily demonstrated, like, I don't think he's going to be James Harden, you know, who goes from sixth man of the year to the guy that he is.
No.
It's a big leap. It's a big leap. I can tell you, as a formerly fat guy defensive tackle, the jump from 30 snaps a game to 50 snaps a game is a huge one when it comes to production. So, and look, Vrabel knows that. So he knows that he's probably taking a little bit of a gamble, but he plays with his hair on fire for 25 to 30 snaps per game.
Yep, for sure. All right, so a lot of good stuff going on yesterday. We'll keep in tune with it all day long here on Sports Radio 610. And there could be signings coming down in the middle of this show. Jonathan Allen already signed. Boy, I was way off on that one. I'm like, oh, the Commanders cut him. The Texans probably bring him in on like a one-year prove-it deal. Nope, Minnesota's like, eh. He's proven already. Here's three years, $60 million.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I don't, $10 to $13 million a year is my appetite for defensive tackle right now. Partly, not because, which immediately a bunch of people say, don't you want it? Why don't you want it? Because you got to pay, because there is a salary cap and it is real. And you've got a couple of studs at your edge rushers right now. I think that at defensive tackle, if they want to get a real potentially huge impact player, it comes by way of the draft.
Yep.
And that's now that they have one less offensive tackle on the roster, man, my appetite for O-line has increased dramatically compared to what I did want interior offensive linemen. Now I'm eyeballing those offensive tackles in a way that I wasn't before.
The mock drafts change a little bit for the Texans for sure, and that's kind of fun. So conveniently enough, we're going to do our mock draft injection for today in the next segment. Let's give away some rodeo tickets first, though. Parker McCollum, man.
Yeah.
Parker McCollum's probably dialed in on all this Texans stuff. He's a big Texans fan. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see Parker McCollum live at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo Friday, March 21st. So that's the final weekend of the rodeo. Get it kicked off on Friday with Parker McCollum. Caller number 5, and you're on your way. Keep listening all day for more chances to win rodeo tickets. It's a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Mock draft injection, which really comes with questions for me and a proposal for the Texans on the offensive line. We'll get to that coming up next.